Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. Ray Morrissey was on with us yesterday. He was knocked down, hit and run last Saturday morning near Baltinglass, Castledermot. Silver Audi, grey or silver Audi, didn't stop. Gardaí still looking for the silver Audi with a broken passenger mirror and maybe possibly other damage to the front. Photograph of silver Audi up on our Twitter feed at Joe Liveline or at RTE Liveline. Margaret Bourke has contacted us. It's about her sister, Breida. How is Breida today, Margaret, after her ordeal?
Hello, Joe. Thanks for having me on your show.
Okay.
Breida is traumatised and doing the best she can in a tough situation and waiting to hear from the hospital tomorrow as to how she proceeds further.
Okay. It happened last Tuesday evening, this day last week, yeah?
That's right, Joe. Yes, yes.
And the Botanic Avenue in Dublin.
5 to 6.
Okay. Fagan's Pub, a landmark pub on the north side of Dublin.
That's right.
Near Crow Park and various other offices near where the old Lemons factory used to be, near the wonderful library there in the park. Botanic, okay, what happened?
Yes, she decided to go for a walk last Tuesday and she stopped there at the busy junction at Fagan's Pub to cross the road.
Okay.
Now, the traffic light there gave her the go-ahead to proceed. So she went about crossing over, and before she knew it, there was a bicycle wheel between her two legs, and she had been knocked to the ground.
Okay.
So, Joe, to make a very long story short, Breida was knocked down. She didn't realise at the time how bad her injury was. The cyclist did stop, yes, and she said that her bell wasn't working. Now, Breida, of course, was very angry at the time and traumatised on the ground. Mm-hmm. And a passerby helped her up, a very kind gentleman, and proceeded to see how she was. And they realised that she had a good injury and proceeded to go to the Mater Hospital with her.
And just now, to be clear, Margaret,
yes,
your sister Breida, she was crossing the road at the correct time. She had the right of way.
Yes.
And you're saying
exactly,
the cyclist,
the lights were green.
Okay, so the cyclist who hit her came through red lights.
Apparently, yes. Breida had it all clear to go.
Okay, well, then they came through red lights.
She was on the ground.
Okay, and she said to Breida, the cyclist said, as Breida lay on the ground, my bell isn't working.
Her bell wasn't working. She did apologise.
Well, it's not. Hang on. But it's not her bell that's not wasn't working. It's her, it's her eyesight that wasn't working.
Honest, Joe, that is what my sister said at the time to her, you know, in anger and complete frustration that, you know, it's your eyes that really that you should be able to look at the light. But anyway, I know accidents do happen. The reason why I felt so strong about getting on to you, Joe, is that to make a long story short, Breida has a fractured humerus, and which is a serious injury.
Yeah.
And she's black and blue all over, swollen. She cannot do very much for herself in the last week. She lives alone.
Oh, God.
She has wonderful neighbours and friends and family, of course, that were trying to assist. Her family is living in the country. So and she's in Dublin. And she's waiting to go back to the hospital tomorrow, hoping that the swelling will be gone down enough for them to be able to do more for her. She cannot wash, clean, cook, drive, nothing at the moment because of this. And we feel that there's so much talk at the moment and ads about motorists hitting cyclists.
Yeah, which is awful.
Well, this is the opposite way around of a cyclist, an accident hitting the pedestrian. Is there any There's no insurance. Is there any comeback for Breda? Like, if this is going to have an impact on her life going forward, I'd say for many months to come.
Yeah.
Where does one go? Now, the kind gentleman that did assist her and take her to the hospital did stop a Garda on their way and told him of the accident. The Garda did take note of her name and address and said accidents like this happen all the time. And he said he would contact her back, or she was to contact him the following day. Now, Breda has tried to contact him in the middle of all the trauma, but she found out, I think recently, that he's not on duty until tomorrow.
Okay.
So, like, it's so traumatizing, and it has just highlighted to us all as to how the pedestrian can be affected. And the cyclist, is there rules on the road for cyclists?
And did she give... Did the cyclist give her name to... To either Breda or the...
No. We don't know who this lady is. She cycled away into the sunset and...
But she would have been aware. The cyclist would have been aware because your sister was on the ground, you tell me.
Yes.
Yeah. I presume there was a kerfuffle of people trying to help her, including that man.
I'm sure there was, yes.
Who took her to hospital.
And yes, what well, the kind gentleman did. Now, I wasn't there, and
Bobby
was too traumatised to come on the show today to speak to you, so I really felt I had to speak on her behalf, you know.
And did you get the name of the man who took her to hospital?
He didn't want to give his name,
my God.
You know. He was just a kind gentleman who helped her so much and spoke to the Gardaí, and they have details of that all
and
right.
She had a broken humerus, which is, it's your arm, obviously, and it's extraordinarily debilitating.
Absolutely.
In terms of living on your own, in terms of everything in your life.
Terms of everything. Now, with COVID and everything, you're told to you know, go for a walk, get out there, breathe. You know, she worked in a pub and lost work there a year ago because of COVID.
Oh, God.
And it doesn't look like now, even if things are opening up, what her future holds. Because she's going to have many months of rehabilitation because of this injury. And, you know, it's just that we're lost on it. It's just a highlight to listeners that could have been a mother and a baby in a pram. You know, what I'm trying to say is motorists, you have a comeback with a motorist. You have help, you have assistance there, you have the law. What is out there with regards to cyclists? There is no law, is there, out there? I don't know. Is there any comeback for Breda with compensation to help her in the next few months?
Mm-hmm.
Can anyone out there help or tell us? Or has anybody ever come across, you know, that type of scenario? Like, there's ads on the television about keeping your space and all of that, you know, for motors, and rightly so, I know. But it's just that this is from the other side of the coin, you know.
I know Fagan's is closed, and it's a beautiful pub in terms of the flowers and everything outside. That's my memory of it. But is there any CCTV?
Well, now, would the Road Safety Authority be able to tell us that?
Does anyone know anyone who works in Fagan's? I know they have outdoor CCTV on that corner.
Well, I'm sure it's a very busy junction, so hopefully there would be.
Does the bank have CCTV? There's a bank there, isn't there?
I'm not familiar with the area.
Yeah, but Jim, I know quite well. Jim Markey clothes shop is there. Very well known clothes shop. Has that shop got CCTV?
Yes. And in the event that there was CCTV, what is the story with regards to a pedestrian, and how are they covered when they're on the road? Is there any compensation or insurance that will help Breda in the next few months? Because God only knows, after putting up with such a year that it has been.
And how is she in herself with the shock of it?
Traumatised, very upset.
Wow.
And as the days go on, it begins to sink in with you that you cannot wash yourself. You cannot do your hair. You have to sit in bed instead of lie down. She's black and blue, Joe, from in between her thighs, her arm, her shoulder. She's swollen on the whole way down along to her fingertips. She can't, literally, she was told not to move that particular arm, which they have in a sling for the minute until the swelling goes down. So when you're living on your own, can you visualise that? You know, a lady who loves her style, loves how she looks, loves, you know, to drive, even to go for a little spin now that that you can drive further away than 5 miles. She was so looking forward to that alone. None of that is possible for her. And my kind sister in Carlo will have to bring her down once the hospital appointment is over to try and care for her while she's recovering.
Yeah, and as you say, she's traumatised, to say the least.
Traumatised. Yes.
Okay, stay with us, Margaret. Joe at rte.ie, 51551 Moshans is the text number. John.
Yeah, hi, Joe.
What happened to you?
I was just ringing up for a friend there, you're talking about the bike incident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was out on my bike there on Saturday.
Okay.
I was up the back end of the Leicester Lakes.
Okay.
And the car came up behind me, and I could feel him coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved in slightly on the road. And next minute, I just felt a hand off back, vertical shove, and I was pushed up onto the side of the ditch. And I don't think 60. No, the hand.
Yeah, the line is dreadful, unfortunately. You're saying somebody stuck their hand out the open window, a passenger, obviously, I presume, was it?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Leaned out the open window and pushed you to knock you off your bike.
Yeah, that's it, exactly it.
And did they say anything, or...?
No, they didn't even stop. Like, I could sense them coming behind.
Yeah.
And so I moved in a little bit, but then they stayed with me at the same pace. And then next minute, I just felt a hand on me back, up on the grass, and...
Deliberately.
Deliberately, yeah, and like, it is, I was expecting them to call it and be on social media or something. But it is a phenomenon. I see if you go on YouTube.
It is a phenomenon. Let's see, can we get a better line for you there, John? Yeah. I'll come back to you in a sec. Kira, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What happened to you? And it was a hit and run.
Yeah, it was just 3 years ago now.
Okay.
So I was on my way to work in to do night duty. And it was dark. It was a winter's night. Mm-hmm. And I noticed on the road that as I got closer to the oncoming car, I realised they were veering onto my side of the road.
Okay.
So all I could think to do in a last-minute panic was I steered my car in towards the ditch. And they basically kept coming and just hit the whole driver's side of my car. So I stopped, obviously. They stopped further behind me and I could see them stopping. So I reached down to get my phone to ring my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sat back up, they went. They just left.
Gone,
yeah.
And how were you? What were you? Well, the car was obviously very damaged, but how were you?
Well, I was in shock initially. And my shoulder and my arm and that was sore because I was kind of hit to the side more so than to the front.
Mm-hmm.
I just was in shock. I got out and I rang my husband and he said he'd come and meet me because I wasn't long after leaving my house. So he told me to get off the phone and ring the guards and I did. And then a man came up behind me and I actually thought that was who was after hitting me and that they'd come back.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was actually a resident in the area. He said he heard the bang from his house.
Okay.
And he came out to see what was going on. So I explained it to him and... he just stayed with me until the guards got there, until my husband got there.
And were you hospitalised, Ciara?
Well, my husband brought me into hospital later that night,
Yeah.
So I couldn't go into work, obviously, but I still didn't think anything major of it. Like, I had no major injuries to start with, but I ended up having a lot of trouble as time went on and I ended up having to leave my profession.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in my profession for 10 years and I had to leave it. Which was very hard, and I went through a lot of stress and anxiety. Going from being used to working all my life to being out of work was very difficult to deal with.
So, Kira, you began a detective hunt, so yourself and your husband.
Yes, my husband's in the motor trade, so he kind of, the person's mirror and bits of their vehicle had come off, they were all over the road.
Okay.
So he was able to get information through contacts he knows, through numbers and that that will be on parts of the car, and he was able to narrow down he was able to tell the guards the following morning the type of vehicle we were looking for.
Brilliant.
Even specifically between the years, because as you know, models of cars change every couple of years. So he was even able to go specific between 4 years.
Okay.
So I put it out on the community alert page, and I couldn't believe all the people that shared it and contacted me, and everyone was so nice. And then after two long, stressful days, we got a call from the Garda station to say these people had suddenly come forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we now get to a court case, do we?
Well, yeah, they were prosecuted through the guards down the line, and then I took a civil case against them also.
Okay, so what did the prosecution, the criminal case, how did that end up?
Well, look, it's a long story. I don't want to go too much into it, but they got off lightly. They got off a lot lighter than they should have.
Oh, in your view. Now, you took a civil case. Why?
Because when I realised that I was going to be out of work, and I think what annoyed me the most was if they had stopped that night, it probably would have been a totally different scenario.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, initially, I was only worried about the car, the damage to it, and the fact that I couldn't go into work that night. That's all I was initially worried about, you know? And it was about a week later when myself and my husband discussed it, and I decided to take it further. I didn't think about that straight off, obviously. But it was just, if I think the person had stopped that night and had a bit of decency, I probably wouldn't have gone down that route. But then again, I wasn't to know at that time that I was going to be out of work so long and I was going to be left with a long-term injury that I had to leave my job over.
Yeah. And what was it like taking the civil case, Ciara? Was that difficult?
Well, it wasn't easy. It went on for about 2.5 years.
Wow.
It's not long. It's not long settled. And like that, again, very stressful, very up and down, you know, these things all take time and everything else. But as I said, just getting back to the point, if people would just stop, like, I personally couldn't imagine hitting anyone on the road and not stop. And I just, you know, and for it to go on for two, nearly going into 3 days before they came forward, you know, they knew what they'd done. So,
and were you, I know this word doesn't apply, but were you successful in the civil case?
I was in the end, yeah, I was. But like anything,
it was a nightmare as well,
When you've gone through 3 years of a lot of stress and anxiety, and now luckily I'm only gone back to work in the last few months, I only got a new job. But as I said, I loved what I did, and it's something I would have stayed in. But I didn't have that choice. It wasn't sustainable to be in it when I was injured, you know.
And Joe, can I just say that
Margaret.
This lady, she's wonderful. Yes, it's the long-term implications of something like that happening. And that lady was very brave to proceed and follow it up to the very end. But the stress it has caused her. And I can see that happening with my sister. And like all she has to face in the next few months, trying to sort all of this out. And I feel it's more complicated when it's just a cyclist, because I don't know if there's any laws in Ireland around insurance for cyclists, or is there anywhere she can go? Because it can be a more, let's say, straightforward situation if it's a motorist, you know, car and insurance and all that. Yeah. But the fact that it's a bicycle and we just don't seem to have anything laid on about that.
But I'm just wondering, is the the Good Samaritan, who helped Rita, he might be a witness as well.
Yes, that is true.
So
it'd
be worthwhile trying to contact him. Okay, back to John, the Sally Gap, and had you any idea what age these galoots were that attacked you?
No, I didn't. I didn't see them at all. I didn't see anything. I just went tumbling over and there. Got a glimpse of a car leave, and that was it.
And by the way, if you're up to Sandy Gap, you're a semi-pro cyclist. Were you in the locked into the pedals?
Yeah,
do you follow me?
That's exactly, yeah, I was locked in, and once the bike started going over, I went with the bike.
You can't jump off. Yeah.
No, and then I did finally release from the bike, and the bike went into the ditch, and then I landed out on the road. Two oncoming cars did stop. There was a couple in it. They lived there local and they were offering to bring me in for a tea and offering me a lift home. I never thought to actually ask them, had they got any damage on their cars?
And is this, John, is this a prank? Is this a well-known so-called prank?
It basically is a prank. It's up on YouTube, and the one on YouTube, some poor fella got pushed, and they're laughing as they're doing it, and they're coming along, and they're planning what they're going to do to get the same speed that he's going, and then they push it, and with such a force they're going, and you're going, you have no choice, but you just go into the ditch.
Oh,
I was blessed. I had it on the road, but I could have been hit.
Yeah.
No one didn't know I was up there.
Yeah, I'm going to say that,
Now, there is another huge one. It's an elderly man they push over. Now, I'm 48, and I'm getting there, but I got some fright. I got put over.
And is it... apparently, there are a few of them up on YouTube. It's regarded as a bravado prank. Good God.
Yeah,
extraordinarily dangerous one.
Oh, it is. I just like teenage kids, and I had them looking out. He appears up on some social media nonsense. It's shocking.
Stay there. David is in Dublin South. David, your point, please.
John. Yeah, my point is now, I'm going to do a little preamble. I hope I don't take too much of your time up. But it's quite a common practice, listen to that lady there, of cyclists going through red lights. And I know the cyclists, you know, they suffer quite a lot from cars and so forth. But in a number of cases I've seen, even when the cycle lanes provided, they don't use them. My particular situation is I was driving my wife into James's Hospital. She's a long-term cancer patient.
Right.
Driving in.
Okay.
And I'm driving into town. There's a cycle lane on my left. There's a single lane going into town and a single lane coming out of town.
Okay.
There's a cyclist in front of me. He's not using the cycle lane. I'm behind him. There's seven or eight cars behind me. They're going to work or wherever they're going. They can't get by. So I wait till there's nothing coming out of town in the outcoming lane.
Yeah.
I go around by the driver, lower my wife's passenger window and shout at the guy, use the cycle lane.
Okay.
I then come up to a roundabout and I stop. Right. He comes around the back of my car, comes up, bangs on my window and tells me, using the broad F myself, and then continues straight on, goes through the roundabout. I continue on down, coming to KCR garage. I have to stop. There's three or four red lights are red, three or four cars ahead of me. He comes in, down on the cycle lane this stage, comes up at the lights, then looks about a half a second left or right, and goes straight through the red lights and down into town. And that's my experience, the situation. And I say it's probably not unique.
Yes,
I agree. He didn't take any... Okay. Mary Farrell. Mary, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie. Mary.
Thanks for letting me on.
Okay, fire away.
Now, what I have to say is, Joe, that I've had an experience... Once a little gorrier on a bicycle on the footpath hit off my elbow. Now, I wasn't hurt.
Okay.
But I have had experience of people on e-scooters on the footpath.
Yes, there's a new phenomenon, yeah. We're relatively
On two occasions, I've had to take them on.
Okay, tell us how and how you did that.
Well, they started abusing me, so I gave them the same language back. I won't say on air what I said.
And why did they start abusing you?
Because I took them on, because they weren't supposed to be on the footpath.
And what did you say to them, get off the footpath?
No, I said, I was stronger, my voice was stronger than that. I said, get onto the street, I said. But yeah. I wasn't that nice.
You sound fine, Mary.
I'm very deliberate, and I've had to take on cyclists on the footpath as well.
Okay,
When the
cyclist gave you the elbow, hit off your elbow.
Well, he lived around the corner from where I was living.
Okay.
So I speeded up my walk and I saw where he lived, but I didn't go in. I wouldn't take these people on because they're not the type of people you take on, you know.
Okay.
But Joe, can I just say something as well?
Because of
the situation the last year with COVID, and I'm sure there's far more cyclists out there now,
to
the city. This is what's going to be happening going forward. There's going to be more people out cycling, and that gentleman there mentioned correctly, as Breda has indicated to me, because she's living in Dublin and has observed the whole situation, that bicycle lanes are there as well. And he is right, they're not always used.
Okay.
And going forward, when it's going to be so busy with that, with bicycles now and whatnot, like surely they can stop to think that they have to follow the rules of the road, like motorists and civilians as well.
Okay. And Mary, you've never been afraid when you challenge them, no?
To be honest with you, I just take them on. I'm not afraid of anybody.
Okay. Does that get you into worrying situations or dangerous?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
You have a strong voice.
Oh, no. What I say, they just go.
Okay. You don't want to give me an example of what you say, no?
Well, I wouldn't like to say on there, and I want to say it's not repeatable.
Okay. Mind yourself out there, Mary. That's Mary Farrell. David, thanks. Margaret Bourke and her other callers. 51551 again, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.